Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Hippie Witch, magic for a new age. I'm your host, Joanna DeVoe, and this is a happy, hippie place where magic with a K meets the law of attraction. Hello! Thanks for joining me for episode 82 of Hippie Witch, magic for a new age. My name is Joanna DeVoe, and I'm the kooky creatrix behind Kick-Ass Witch, putting the K in magic, and of course, Hippie Witch, the show you are listening to right now. I also have a free ebook by that name, Hippie Witch, Peace, Love, and All That Good Shit, and you can pick up a copy of that at www.joannadevoe.com, and I have put a link to that on the description page for this episode back at Blog Talk Radio. I'm a little keyed up. I turned 41 yesterday. And because I am such a goofball about my birthday, and I'm so, look at me, look at me, look at me, everybody, it's my birthday. You probably already know this. But I've been really busy with the Psycho Spiritual Wheel of the Year. That group is going off. It is the most amazing bunch of people. And I'm trying, you know, to get my work done and not spend my whole life on Facebook. So I'll be there in the morning and then I go back at night. And by the time the in between the morning and the night or the night and the morning, it's just like an explosion of new threads and conversation to keep up with. And it's blowing my mind. And then, of course, telling everybody, like, hey, it's my birthday yesterday. There was just tons of birthday messages and emails and holy cow, you all are super duper amazing and fun, so thank you for that. And I am scattered because I still have not caught up with myself because today is my son's 21st birthday. I am now the mother of a 21-year-old, which is kind of funny, and it's going to take some getting used to, I think, even though he's not, like, going to be running out to the bar anytime soon. All he wants for his birthday is, like, lemonade and golf balls. We're going to get drunk on lemonade. But, so lots of busyness happening. So I'm just going to try to stay calm and talk at you here for 30 minutes about the subject, which is from faith to surrender, which is the path I've kind of been on in this last year or so. You might remember I did an episode, I think I did a couple, on faith earlier. Like, I think I did one, I don't know, I should have checked so I could tell you accurately. I think I did one around my birthday last year, and then another one kind of like an update on faith, because faith was the word that I chose to work with as a 40-year-old. So a friend of mine earlier in the year had decided she was going to work with one word. She was going to work with the word thrive, which I thought was a very sexy, energizing, cool word, you know, like this year I'm going to thrive. And for some reason, as much as I wanted a cool, sexy, energizing word, I felt like the word faith chose me. And I talked about that in at least the one episode. I can't remember if I did two. I'm sorry. You can scroll back through the archives and see. It'll be something titled something to do with faith. But my experience of it was really interesting because I don't really like that word. It didn't really grab me as like, ooh, what a fun word. It felt like, that. It reminded me so much of the Christianity that I grew up in. And putting your faith in something maybe outside yourself. And it was sort of strange. I don't know. Sometimes I just get compelled to do things. And I assume that's spirit or my higher self or the universe calling me in a certain direction. So faith it was. And faith, I wrote the word all over everything. I did Google searches and I really examined it. And I just found it popping up everywhere because once something is on your radar, you tend to see it everywhere. So faith, for me, after a whole year of working with this word and having it pop up and all these different blog posts and little quotes online and stuff, ultimately it just came to be quite simply about having faith in myself, having faith that I can meet the day, having faith that I can come here on Tuesday at noon not knowing exactly what I'm going to say to you and that somehow it will all come together in 30 minutes. Faith that I can handle that scary phone call or survive that seemingly overwhelming task. Faith that what I have and what I am is enough to not only cope with what I've been given, but also that I will thrive. There's that word. I will thrive because I want to. I will thrive because that is what my heart is set on doing. I will always make the best of whatever situation I'm in. I will always lean on the side of positivity. I will always love because that's who I am. That is who I have proven myself to be time and time again. And finally, after 40-some-odd years of practicing being me, I have faith in who I am, and that is one of the beautiful gifts of getting older. Yes, I wish I had the ass of my 18-year-old self, because it was really cute. You should have seen it. You know, not everything about getting older is awesome, but wisdom is. Having faith in yourself is feeling more comfortable in your own skin. Like, yes, that is amazing. It's better than having a really nice 18-year-old ass, I have to tell you. And you can always work out and have a very nice 41-year-old ass. It might not be exactly the same, but it can be rocking. And so, there may be a higher power. I'm not really sure if that's my higher self, if that's the universe. I tend to lean more toward being a pantheist. But faith doesn't have to have a religious connotation. And so that's another thing that I learned and really took to heart this year about faith. Faith can simply be about having faith in life or just faith in yourself and your ability to handle life. And then I wanted to do this whole process again this year, so I was thinking, oh, I'll pick a word on my birthday for next year, and this time it's going to be a really sexy, fun, cool, exciting, energizing word, damn it. And then before I could even think about it, it happened again. The word for this year picked me. I swear it did. I cannot explain how it happens, but it's just like this funky download where I'm like, oh, really? Are you sure that's my word for the year? It just sort of comes to me, and then it just feels like yes. There's just like an internal yes. And that word is surrender, another word that is so tied in with the religion that I grew up with and so tied in with a lot of different religions and surrendering to a higher power and all of that. And so I had the same reaction that I did last year. I was like, are you kidding me? Why? Is thrive ever going to be my word? And so perhaps this is just something my soul needs to experience, a kind of, you know, it could be like a kind of reframing of the concepts that are still valuable that I learned as a kid, and maybe I threw the baby out with the bathwater in terms, the baby Jesus, in terms of just being like, yeah, okay, I am not a Christian. I don't ascribe to those beliefs anymore. But maybe it's not wise to just throw the whole thing out. So how can I better make this point? It's like keeping the spiritual truths that run throughout Christianity or any number of religions, and then just sort of removing the third-party aspect. The spiritual truth is there, but it's directly accessible to you, and you don't necessarily need a third party, a church, a Bible, or even, please don't strike me down with lightning, Lord Jesus, maybe you don't even need Jesus to experience these personal truths. Maybe these are just basic human lessons, spiritual lessons that we are all here to learn, and that for some of us, must be reframed. Maybe they need to be reframed in a more global sense again and again and again to accommodate the various belief systems around the world, the various dogmas and religions or non-religious paradigms. Gary Zukav has a quote that I like that kind of makes me think about this. Just because he's saying the exact same thing in this quote that I grew up with and heard again and again and again, but he's really just taking the Jesus out of it. And I know a lot of you are really into Jesus, and I have come to terms with Jesus and made friends with Jesus. I have a little Jesus painting that I did on my altar right now. So I'm not knocking Jesus. I'm just speaking to that Christian paradigm. You can take him out of the equation, and the truth remains. So what Gary Zukav said in The Seat of the Soul, which is a very good book, he said, take your hands off the steering wheel. Be able to say to the universe, thy will be done, and allow your life to go into the hands of the universe completely. And that, to me, is what surrender is about. It's what back in Christianity we would say, Jesus, take the wheel. Let go and let God, thy will be done. And what I'm saying, I'm definitely about to go off on a crazy tangent, but you've probably heard me do that enough times now to know that I do that sometimes. A friend of mine posted something on Facebook this morning that cracked me up. It was a video of these two little kids. And a mediator, little kid, so three, but two of them were arguing about if it was raining or sprinkling. And they were little, little kids, like, I would guess four maybe. And the little boy was saying, my mom says it's sprinkling. And the little girl's like, my mom says it's raining. And they get into a whole, like, finger wagging in your face, poking each other argument. At one point, the little boy, like, lifts his hands up like he's going to wring her neck, and it's taking all his restraint not to wring her neck. And they both, their main primary argument is, my mom says it's sprinkling. Well, my mom says it's raining. My mom says it's sprinkling. My mom says it's raining. And they're getting increasingly more and more upset as the little girl in between them is trying to, like, mediate them. And then what cracked me up is it kind of ends with the girl getting so mad, she pokes the little boy in the chest with her finger to make her point. And he goes, ow, you poked my heart. Which to me just says right there, that's how that man, when he grows up to be a man, that's how he's going to win every argument. But it was just cute, but it also reminded me of this whole, I don't know, the arguing that goes on about religion or different words to say the same thing, whether you say the universe or you say God, whatever your paradigm is, we can sit here and argue, my mom says it's the universe. Well, my mom says it's God. You know, we can do that all day long, and we might just be saying the same exact thing, but from a different paradigm. So there's my little tangent. It ties in my mind. I hope that you can go with me on those little side roads. And speaking of the universe, it really gave me my first opportunity right out of the gate to practice surrender from day one on my birthday. Because being me, I thought I was going to get so much done that day. I had all these plans. I wanted to do another birthday wrap. I don't know if you saw my birthday wrap that I did when I turned 40, but I had a couple of requests to do another one. So I thought, oh, I'm definitely going to do that because that's totally fun. Didn't do it because I didn't have time to do it. I have a special Book Nerd Weekly post that I wanted to post in honor of my birthday because I have my own book, my own novel that I'm rounding the corner on, and it's been a long process for me. I have written and rewritten this thing a few times, and I'm always talking about other people's books. So I wanted to do a Book Nerd post about my book, and I thought I could get away with it because it was my birthday, and I could describe that journey to you and invite you to go on the journey with me. Didn't have enough time to finish that and give that up, largely because of what I just said about just exploding my inbox because of my own, like, yay, look at me, it's my birthday-ness. And then just all the different birthday plans that I had, going out to breakfast, going out to dinner, going to Erewhon, going to do all these fun things. So I just had to, I'm a bit of a controlled freak about Kick-Ass Switch, if you haven't noticed. I have everything on a little schedule, dunk-a-dunk-a-dunk, and it happens like clockwork. That's to spare myself the sanity, insanity. And it was really bugging me that I wasn't going to get that Book Nerd post up, especially. And it just didn't seem right if I posted it, like, later in the week and blah, blah, blah. And it's really like, who cares? Do you care? You probably don't care. Another thing I didn't get done, which was supposed to happen today, which is my son's birthday, like I just told you, was another Two on Tuesday post, which is these 2-minute videos that I was going to do this new series on Facebook. And guess what? Hardly anybody cares. Not a lot of people were watching them, and they weren't exactly like, oh, we love this new series so much, Joanna. Please make us more. And then when one didn't go up today, not one person was like, oh, no, where's your Two on Tuesday post? So these things that I was worrying about, I just had to let them go and surrender. So I was immediately given opportunities to surrender my, you know, loosen my grip, tell my ego to bug off and to let it go. Nobody really cares. It doesn't always have to be perfect, and you do get to enjoy your birthday. You get one birthday a year. Enjoy the dang thing, and don't worry about what isn't getting done. And like I said, nobody cares anyway. If you have sent me email, though, I'm all the way through, I think, every Facebook comment, but not all the emails. I've gotten to most of them. So if I have not gotten to you, I will. I've promised, but I am practicing surrender, so I'm doing what I can when I can, and then I let the rest sit there, and I try to just not let it drill a hole into my brain and bug me. Yeah, so my own busyness, being busy, and that sense of self-importance and things have to happen or the whole world will just fall apart. I'm surrendering that. I surrendered it yesterday, and I'm surrendering it today. And in the Psycho-Spiritual Wheel of the Year group, there is, you know, we're all talking about our lives and what we're working on right now, and somebody was talking about how she feels like, and she apologized if anybody was offended by the analogy, so I guess I will too, in case you think this is gross, but I don't think it's gross. I think it's kind of beautiful. She's talking about how she feels like she's crowning. I don't, you know what that is? Do you know what that is? When a woman is giving birth and the baby's head just sort of like, you just see like the top of the head coming out, and it can kind of hang out there for a while. She feels like she's crowning, but not really like moving much beyond that, and that she's in the midst of birthing or being born into the next phase, but that she's not quite there yet. And she was just, you know, kind of asking the group, like, what do you think? Like, what are good ways for coping with this? And I related to this so much, because in my business and in my personal life both, I feel like that. Like, I've been in limbo, kind of, or in this transition period in a greater sense. I feel like I've been in that period for like 3 years now, but it's really been coming to a head and crowning, so to speak, lately, which really actually started with my last birthday. So this last year has been crazy, and I'm a person who pushes. I'm like a pusher. I'm a pushy pusher, and when I want something to happen, I like push to make it happen, which is why surrender is such a great word for me, letting go, trusting, surrendering. But also when she was talking about crowning and being in the midst of birthing, I was thinking about how I'm such a pusher, and then I started kind of riffing on her analogy of the birthing process, and I was thinking, you know, when women are giving birth, the doctors tell them not to push if it's not time to push. And if they push before it's time, if they try to, like, force things along, they can rip themselves in a very unpleasant way, creating trauma for their bodies and more pain than is necessary. And I was thinking, that's so perfect. You know, that is That's what I do. I try to like push through, and it just creates more pain. If for only myself, like internal stress that just doesn't need to be there. And when I think about the word surrender, and when I get to an actual place of surrender in my own heart and mind, oh, it's such a relief. It's about surrendering to what is right now, what is the reality, this moment, surrendering to where you're at in the process or on the path. One quote when I was reading about surrender that kind of sort of baffled me a little bit and intrigued me. I read it a bunch of times, and then I read it out loud, and then I decided to write it here on a piece of paper to read to you, to read out loud and let you chew on it for a minute and see what you can get out of it. It is by a man I don't know named George Alexiou, I-O-U, Alexiou. And George, whoever he may be, said, "What is given to you is what is needed." That I get. What is given to you is what is needed. And then the second part is what kind of like gave me pause. He said, "What you want requires giving up what you don't need." So I'll read it all together again, because for me, if you're anything like me, it took me a second to get it and to really like take it in. But he said, "What is given to you is what is needed. What you want requires giving up what you don't need." So I'm just going to let that hang in the air for a minute and let you interpret it as you will. But talking about surrendering to what is, I really feel like this started to come to fruition in my own mind when I was doing the Autumn Transition module, the last module for the Psycho-Spiritual Wheel of the Year. The Crafty Witch project for that was called An Altar to What Is, and it was about creating an altar to what is in your life and looking at that altar almost as a form of like divination to like see your life in a new way and to see kind of what path you're on or where you're headed. And then after that module was long gone, I kept for some reason thinking about what is, and I started thinking about letting what is be your guide. And I wanted to do a show on that. Maybe I will do a show on that. I don't know. But I just loved that idea, and I started thinking about that. I will always love tarot cards. I collect them. I love them. I bought myself a new one for my birthday. It's not here yet, but I am going to be running out to the mailbox right after I hang up the phone on you to check to see if it's here. I love tarot. I love divination. I think it's really interesting. But it's also interesting to think, what if you didn't have to interpret the signs or read between the lines or read tarot cards or runes or animal medicine? What if you didn't need all that? What if the answer that you are seeking is right in front of your face? Maybe it's not that complicated. Maybe we make it more complicated than it needs to be. I love symbolism. The novel that I was talking about is so much to do with that, tarot specifically, and then there's like symbolism all built into it that I hope, you know, people will find for themselves and experience, you know, little discoveries as they're reading through it. But what if that's not necessary? What if the answers are literally what is? So, for example, let's say you're itching to get an exercise routine going and get into the best shape of your life, but you just broke your leg. And maybe life is just saying like, "Hey, yeah, that's really nice, but no. You need to rest now." And that's what is. Or maybe your marriage is in shambles, and try as you may, you want to get the hell out of there, but you just can't find or get into a new home to start your life over as a rad, bad single person like yesterday, try as you might. So maybe life is just telling you that you still have a little bit of unfinished business or healing to do before you'll be ready for that next chapter. Or maybe it's just as simple as someone is currently occupying your dream house and it won't be available for another 30 days. And if you push, you'll miss it and cause yourself more pain than necessary. Maybe you really wanted that promotion and you drove yourself and everyone around you nuts trying to get it and thinking about getting it and talking about getting it, and then you didn't get it. Maybe the universe was like, hold up, a really kick-ass job offer at a whole other company is about to open up for you. Or maybe your company is going to get rid of that position you want altogether sometime in the near future, and in landing that position, you'd also be setting yourself up to get fired. So, again, probably not a new concept to you if you grew up in a religious home, because in those situations, it's always like, let go or let God, or like, you know, God always answers your prayers. He just doesn't always give you the answer you want. It reminds me of, if you've been with me for a while, you might remember a phase I went through when I want to say read, but I actually got the audio version of Tosha Silver's Outrageous Openness, which is a fantastic book. I listened to it several times, and I guess it just came to me at a time in my life when I needed to surrender and let spirit guide me. I wasn't using the word surrender as far as I can remember. I was just thinking about letting spirit guide me. Clearly, I have control issues because these themes just keep working their way back into my life. But I do think that it takes time to fully integrate major lessons like this. You know, there's layers to this kind of understanding, and sometimes we have to revisit these lessons again and again and again. And it's funny, I think, like, this is supposed to be a show about magic and the point where magic meets the law of attraction. So what does all this have to do with magic and law of attraction? If magic is creating change in conformity with your will, or if the law of attraction is like, you know, manifesting what you want according to your will. And, you know, you could sit around and debate that all day long, and people do. I did a video called The Dark Side of the Law of Attraction. If you want to kind of get more of my opinion on that, I see I only have 3 minutes, so I can't get too much into that. But I will say that in magic, for example, many witches will add to the end of a spell, like they're doing a spell because they want to bring something into their lives. If you practice law of attraction and you're more new agey than witchy, don't let the word spell throw you. It is really just a very creative, artistic approach to the law of attraction, in my opinion. But many witches will add at the end of a spell, this or something better. May this or something better come to me, so mote it be, and blah, blah, blah. And the same is true of law of attraction practitioners trying to manifest something. A lot of those people will also add that they want to manifest this or something better into your life. And in saying that, whether there is a guide or an angel or a god or the universe actually listening to you, or you are just communicating with your higher self, you are opening up a place in your heart for the mystery and for the magic to enter in. You're surrendering the need to control everything with a bit of faith thrown in that maybe there's something even better. There's something even better out there for you than even you can imagine. And it's also why it's so much better to get into alignment with the feeling that you desire rather than the actual very specific exact thing that you think will give you that feeling. So, you know, if you think the red Lamborghini is going to make you feel cool and important and sexy, maybe it's better to focus on a spell for feeling important and sexy and letting the universe decide how that might come to you and guiding you into feeling more important in your own life and more sexy. Maybe you don't need the red Lamborghini to feel that way. And maybe in focusing on that, you're pushing and creating pain for yourself that you don't need to experience. Maybe you can just surrender the need to control. And I have officially ran out of time. You can probably hear the Blog Talk Radio robot lady telling me 90 seconds, 60 seconds. I think what you hear is just a long gap. It interrupts me talking. But I wanted to read one more quote to you by Marianne Williamson before I go, because I think it is lovely and it ties into the word surrender so beautifully. Something amazing happens when we surrender. Oh, stop interrupting me. Let me begin again. Something amazing happens when we surrender and just love. We melt into another world, a realm of power already within us. The world changes when we change. The world softens when we soften. The world loves us when we choose to love the world. And that, to me, is a beautiful definition of surrender. I will be here next Tuesday talking at you. In the meantime, much love. Peace.